The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable to the effect that they ought to always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. There are a couple. Okay, good, great. Fantastic. I know everybody had a big day last night. I heard the cars leaving around my house late in the evening, actually early morning. So did any of y'all get downtown? How many rides did you ride? None? That's a miracle. How about y'all? Did you ride any rides? Did you go downtown? How many did you ride? Like a lot. Okay, there we go. So we got the none and the a lot. So that's great. Well, What is the way we talk to God? Praying, right? How do you pray? By talking to God, yeah, but what do we do when it's prayer time? What do you do? What? You fold your hands, right? Right. You fold your hands, and that's to keep the hands from being too busy because you want all the focus to be on God. What else do you do? Do you do something besides fold your hands? What do you do with your head? Do you bow your head like that? What do you do when you go to a king or you're in the king's presence? You worship him by bowing your head, right? So there's another part of the prayer. There's one more part. The hands, the head, and what else? What are these? Eyes, what do? Close them. So you fold your hands, so you let him know that you're not going to be doing anything else. You want him to be the focus. You close your eyes for almost the same reason. You want to block out everything that could distract you from talking to him, and you bow your head in honor of him. But did you know there's other ways to pray? We have kneelers in our pews up there sometimes, and some people in some churches will kneel. Again, that's another sign of honor to God. Okay? Did you also know that you could do different things with your hands? Some like to fold them like this. Others like to fold them like you have it, right there. Your hands together. But there's also, you can have your hands open like this. And again, that's to receive blessings from God. And also let God know that you're giving everything to him. In the Bible, Moses even does what we call a reverse cross. We talk about Jesus being like this, right? He did the exact opposite. He went face down on the ground with his arms out like this and his feet behind him as a sign of reverence to God and how powerful he is. And again, making him know that we are totally reliant on him. Today we got a lady who goes to a judge and constantly asks for help. It almost looks like she's kind of pestering him. Like, "Hey, hey, hey, you need to listen to me. Hey, 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 you need to listen to me. Hey, you need to listen to me." But that's not what's important here. It's how she's doing it. She's doing it earnestly and honestly, wanting to ask for help. Listen to what it says here in the Bible. Pray in spirit at all times. How many times do we pray? Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication means humbly. Okay? With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Sometimes we go to God and say, hey, God, help me. All right, now it's your problem. Okay, you're going to help me. That's not what's going on here. She's going and say, I want your help, but I'm putting it in your hands. And that's what we do with our prayer. We say, I'm asking you, God, but I want you to do what you think is best for me and what is your will. That's why we fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes. And we go humbly to him and say, I need you. Sometimes we think, we need you to do this. What we need to do is say, we need you to help me the way you need me to be helped. Going earnestly and with supplication, but also thanksgiving, because we know he will help us. Maybe not in the way we want, maybe not at the time we want, but we go to him in prayer asking for that help. So let's do that right now. Dear God, thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for always listening and always answering. Sometimes the answers may not be the answers we want. Sometimes they may not be the answers we expect. And sometimes they may not come when we wish them to come. But we know that you have us and your will in mind when you answer. Help us to always go to you in prayer with all that we need and always seek your help. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good day. Maybe you'll get down there and see some of those rides yet.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a huge man that walked into a produce store, and he approached the slightly built clerk and said, I would like half a head of cabbage. And the clerk said, I'm sorry, sir, but we only sell full heads of cabbage. And the man says, but I want only a half a head of cabbage. Are you going to sell that to me or not? He said menacingly. And the slight clerk says, well, wait a minute. Let me go talk to Al. He's the manager. So the clerk goes back into the back rooms and he finds Al unpacking some crates. And he says to Al, Al, there's a huge oaf out here that looks like an ox. What should I tell this idiot? What should I tell this fool to? And he stopped in mid-sentence because he noticed Al was staring, not at him, but behind him. The man had followed him into the back room. Clerk looked around, and there he was. And so the clerk finishes the sentence. The clerk says, and this gentleman here wants to buy the other half. We can split a cabbage hair. We can split a hair. We can do two things at one time. But the thing is that we can't be Christians half the time. If we are Christians, if we call ourselves Christians, then we need to be a Christian all the time. Jesus tells a parable here in our gospel lesson about a widow woman who is persistent. That is her goal in life, is to get justice from the judge against her adversary. And she is persistent. She is there every day bugging him, pestering him. That is her goal. That is what's consuming her mind. And as Christians then too, that is how we are to live our life, with God consuming our heart, mind, and soul. So in this parable, the widow woman, and women in that day and time didn't have it easy anyway. They were considered one of the possessions of the husband, and they were listed right there along with the rest of his possessions, such as real estate, his house, or his livestock, his children, and his wife. They were all considered part of the man's possessions. Women were supposed to call their husbands sir when they addressed them. Women did not have very many rights at all. There was some pluses to be a woman. She did have her status, either the status that she from her original family, from the family she was born into, but she also carried the status then of her husband as well. But it was not an easy life because she was supposed to do all the hard work, such as the cooking, the cleaning, the raising of the kids, the taking of the, care of the household. She might have to take care of the family garden as well as maybe tend to the animals and even work out in the fields. It was not an easy life. And if her husband died, it got worse because she could not participate in any of his inheritance. She couldn't have that money. It didn't belong to her. That would go to one of the sons of the family, or it would go somewhere else. But the woman would not have her husband's inheritance. And a woman had to be attached to another man. And so if her husband died, she would have to go back to the household of her father. Or if she had a grown son, she may move in with him, maybe a brother, or maybe another relative. Or she would have to get married again. And if she had no man in her life, then she would be considered in the same status as an orphan or a resident alien, and she would just join the ranks of the widow women who had very few rights. One of the rights that a widow would have, though, what any woman would have had, was her dowry, the money that her family had given to her. That did belong to her. So more than likely, after her husband died, somebody else took that dowry from her. And she wanted justice. She needed her money. Otherwise, she would be reduced to begging. Basically, so she goes to the judge, and the judge, as we read here in this parable, is corrupt. He does not respect man or God. But she is persistent. She goes back every single day, bothering him, pestering him, until he finally relents. He doesn't want to see her again. So he finally gives her the justice she deserves. She basically nagged the justice out of the corrupt judge. And then Jesus says, how much more so will a just God give to you what you need? And God is just. God is all right. God is righteous. There is nothing wrong about God. God wants the best for us. God is pure. And God wants that as well for us. And for us, he wants us to be in relationship with him, to pray persistently, to pray constantly. As this widow woman went to that judge, we too are to go to our Father in prayer. But not only that as well too, but in anything that we do and in everything we do, we need to be aware of God's presence around us. That should be our guiding light. No matter if we are in worship, or whether we are at home, or whether we are at school, or whether we are working, or whether we're hanging out with friends, or we are away, God is still there with us in all things. And God is guiding us. We just simply need to listen to that. We need to be attuned. And God will help guide us into the right way, into the just way of living. You know, we do sin. We do fall short. We do forget about God sometimes. But God brings his justice to us. That justice says, you are guilty. You have done these things. You cannot take them back. But God makes us just. He makes us worthy through Jesus Christ, because Jesus says, yes, you are guilty, but I'm going to take that guilt from you. I'm going to take those sins from you. I'm going to take that shame. I am going to take the punishment from you. And Christ did, and he died on the cross, blotting all our sins out, and he rose again from the dead, giving us a new start. In baptism, Martin Luther, in the explanation of baptism, Martin Luther says we are drowned each and every day in our baptism. And out of those waters, a new self arises. God gives us a new start each and every day. He makes us worthy. He makes us just through the work of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we bow down and worship to God. We offer up prayers to God. We live with God in our hearts, our minds, our soul, and in our strength. God is with us through all things, and we stay persistent in our faith. We can't go halfway. We can't say, well, on Sundays I'll be a Christian. Maybe another day of the week I'll be a Christian. I'll try maybe some other days. But there's times, no, I don't want to think about God. I don't want God in my life. We can't do that. We can't go halfway. God is with us at all times. And as Christians, we too want to be persistent in everything that we do in worshiping God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.